Now I'm very happy to introduce our main speaker tonight. Please welcome Oak from AV. I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that up, but here we go. Hi, my name is Octavio, a.k.a. Oak, and I am definitely an alcoholic. What's all this stuff? Oh, some notes. Thank you guys for being here for me. That's it. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome, Jasmine. I'm glad you're here. Thank you, Raul, for asking me to speak tonight. Thank you, Don, for volunteering. And you know, it feels good to be back here. This is where I got sober. This is where all begun for me. I'm originally from Santa Maria. I grew up in the projects. And you know, my sobriety date is 9/11/2022. I am 1,224 days sober today. I like to, you know, days, you know, you get a little bit more out of it, you know. When talking about, you know, our experience drinking hope, there's always a question of what it was like. And a lot of people, you know, talk about their drunk log and how many drinks they had per day, all the chaos they caused. But I had a different perspective. I had this rest in peace, Jack, who he led one meeting, and he talked about, he gave an analogy, which I'm gonna give my own analogy about alcoholism and what it was like for me. And for me, it was like a parasite, you know, a parasite that was killing me slowly. It was the silent killer, stealing my life away, stealing my freedom. You know, because I thought that I knew everything, right? I didn't listen to my loved ones, even though they kept saying, you know, go get help. Stop doing this, stop doing that, you know. And that parasite took me on the flight from reality, you know. It was, you know, it gave me this false perception of what life was really about. You know, it made me feel powerful, fearful, funny, outspoken, you know, and I thought I was mentally sane, you know. I thought I had it all figured out, you know, because this parasite was just eating at me when I thought that that's the individual that I was, you know. I thought I was supposed to be that way, you know, causing all this chaos. And I pretended that I was sane. You know, it was that calamity that I had that I never realized before I came into these rooms. And the book talks about that calamity, you know, because the paradise made me feel safe, made me feel free. You know, those were the insane thoughts that came to my head, you know, that and I believed them. I believed in the lie that the parasite was telling me, that the alcohol was telling me that I was okay, you know, and I was doomed. It talks about that in the book, you know, that I'm powerless. I was like, well, how am I powerless when I feel powerful? You know, that doesn't make sense to me. But you know, I just kept going. You know, this parasite was affecting my mind, my body, in a way that I wasn't realizing it. You know, it's kind of like the Jaywalker story, right? The Jaywalker in the book. He has an addiction of, you know, walking across the street and getting hit by a car. You know, no matter what happens, a broken leg, broken arm, in the hospital, all wrapped up, he still keeps going. He still has that drive to, oh, this is not going to happen again. You know, and I felt that same way. You know, I wouldn't listen. You know, I just wouldn't listen to anybody's thoughts, because don't you know that this is how I am? You know, don't you know what I've been through? You know, I grew up in the projects, you know, gang activity, you know, Section 8 housing, so much abuse in my house. My father is an alcoholic. You know, he was in and out of my life, in jail. You know, my mom had to raise three boys on her own. And don't you know that's why you drink? You know, don't you know the crap that I've been through? And I just never felt that I belonged anywhere, you know. But alcohol was like, oh man, as soon as I took that drink, it was that parasite kicked in, you know, and it was just like, oh, I'm it's on, you know, I'm game for anything, right? Until it progressed. Right, this disease progressed, it took over, and that's when I really had to realize, like, oh man, I need to do something about this, you know, because if I don't, I'm gonna die. It's a slow death, right? And I didn't realize that. The parasite was just killing me inside. And again, I was lying, I was believing the lie that I was okay, because the parasite was telling me, hey, you're okay. You're supposed to live like this. Don't you know you're Mexican? This is a tradition, you know, getting drunk, you know, no matter if you were celebrating, if there was a death in the family, etc., you know, this is what you do. And I finally came into these rooms. I actually got sober a day after my birthday party, 9/11. So the birthday party was September 10th. I was not supposed to drink. And the paradise said, hey, you're okay to have one. And obviously that wasn't the case, because I had one too many and some. And, you know, my spouse was over it. She's like, I'm taking the kids. You know, I can't live like this anymore. And I'm like, you're not going to leave. Like, you're not going to go anywhere. You know, my ego started kicking in. That's one of the side effects of the paradise, the ego. Mm-hmm. Right? And she left, and I was like, oh. I guess she wasn't lying this time, you know. And so she left, and that night I just partied all night. You know, it progressed so much that I didn't realize it, you know, because I until that day, and I was like, man, you know, I started reflecting, because I couldn't do alcohol if I didn't have this other drug, which was that white powder that you snort. And, you know, I was like, and I had that because I can drink more, you know. Man, it was I, you know, all these lies that I believed, right? So I finally surrendered. And I was like, okay, I need to do something about this. I surrendered to my innermost self. And I knew about this meeting Tuesday nights, 5:30 a.m. p.m. because one of my buddies, he had like a little party, drinking party problem, and his wife's like, you know, yeah, I want you to go get some help. So I went with him, and I remember that meeting, and I could relate to your guys' stories. I was like, oh, I haven't been to jail, but oh man, I do feel that way. Oh, I never crashed my car, so I was being so judgmental, you know, but people couldn't judge me, you know. I was like, I'm perfect. And again, that's another side effect of the paradise, or the parasite. So I walked into these rooms a day before my 29th birthday. So that was September 13th. I walked into that door in my first like official meeting, and I haven't left since. You know, I came into these rooms because I knew a little bit about Alcoholics Anonymous because of my dad. You know, my dad, he's an alcoholic. He's been almost 10 years sober, but he's a dry drunk. He had to get sober because he had cirrhosis in the liver. So he was on the brink of death, you know, when it was almost 10 years ago. And he hasn't had a drink since, but he still acts the same, you know. He still has his angry old self. You know, why isn't anybody ready when I want them to be ready? Type of vibe, you know. Don't you know that the world revolves around me? And So yeah, I walked into these rooms because, you know, I needed answers. I needed the knowledge, the support, because I was done running on self-will, on self-knowledge. You know, it wasn't working anymore. You know, I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know that I was running on self-will, right? I didn't have a concept of that until I dove into the steps, into the book. And, you know, I remember I didn't 30 days, I think I was coming two times a week. You know, I have two kids and full-time job. And I didn't get a sponsor until I got that 30-day chip. Once I got that 30-day chip, there was a secretary, and I went up to him and was like, "Hey," after the meeting, "how do I get a sponsor?" You know, I thought he was like the main guy here, you know, the secretary. I thought he was like the government of, or the governor of the AA. And he looks around and he goes, "Look, what is that guy over there?" And I was like, "Okay, like, what am I supposed to do?" He's like, "Oh, just go ask him over there. Just ask him that you want to sponsor." And he goes and introduces me to him. And that guy became my sponsor. And then one of the first things he said, he's like, "You got time?" I was like, "Yeah, well, I got my 30-day chip today." He goes, "All right." I said, "Okay, well, why don't you call me tomorrow and we'll talk?" I said, "All right, sounds good." Next day comes. I called him. I think I texted him after work. Good idea. Make sure you do that. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I texted him and he goes, "Call me." I'm like, "Oh shoot!" I'm like, this is a stranger. What am I supposed to say to a stranger? So I call him up and he basically just says, "You don't text me. You know, I need to hear how you're doing. I didn't understand that. I need to hear how you're doing. I need to hear your voice." Every time the first maybe week, 2 weeks, I can't remember, but he would always say, "Oh, how are you doing?" "Good." And that's it. That's all I would say. He's like, "Man," he's like, you need to, I can't help you if you can't articulate and express how your day was, you know? And I'm just like, "Well, I don't know how to do that. That's foreign to me, you know? I mean, I can express myself if I'm angry, right? If I'm drunk, you know, I can tell, you know, once I get that drink in me, I'm like, I'm a social butterfly. I can become best friends with you in 10 minutes, right?" And, it was just this insanity that I had. So I got the sponsor, and I needed a plan of action at the same time. So the plan of action was the steps, right? That for me is a plan of action, because the steps allowed me to, or have helped me beat the parasite. Or at least stable it a little bit, you know, because the parasite's still there, you know, but it depends on if I'm feeding the right medicine to it, that it calms down and it doesn't come up again. But, you know, the steps have shown me what to do. You know, I came into these rooms thinking I was alone. You know, I talked about, you know, nobody understood me, you know. I can understand you, and I can judge you and who you are as a person, but you couldn't do that to me, you know. I had mentioned like the ego was there, right? The ego kept creeping up because I was like a horse with blinders. This is my lane, and that's just how I am. I can't venture into any other avenues, you know, because. Don't you know what I've been through? Don't you know my childhood? Don't you know X, Y, and Z? You know, those are all the excuses that I use to tell myself why I drank. You know, to lie to myself, like, "I need this drink because it calms everything down." You know, that's my higher power. You know, I can express my feelings, but I won't listen to your feelings. You know, I don't want to listen to what my spouse has to say to me and how she's feeling, what I'm doing to her, and all the chaos that I'm causing in her life. Because don't you know my story? You know, this is how I am. This is the person you fell in love with. You know, I can't change. I had that mentality. Like, I can't change. Like, nobody can change me. This is how I am. I got, I remember I was, I used to get like super drunk, blacked out. I would run from my friends. And I was a track star. And I was, these guys couldn't catch me, you know. I was like a cheetah out there. And they would always be like, there he goes on his run, you know. And then coming the next day, waking up and not knowing, like, what the hell happened last night, you know. Oh, dude, you ran from us. What? No, I didn't. Dude, yeah, you did. You always do this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, you're crazy. And I would just laugh and think, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. No, I'm not going to drink until I black out again. But again, that parasite was there. These steps, though, this plan of action has allowed me to reduce those side effects that parasite gives me. You know, the ego, the calamity, the judgment, the gossip that I have, you know, the worries that I have, you know. Because when I was a kid, I had no worries, right? I was free, I was being expressive, but then as I grew older, that parasite started coming to life, you know. And it was waiting for that drink. The program of AA has this like irresistible strength of purpose and action. You know, the purpose is to help another alcoholic recover from alcoholism, you know, and carry that the message. And then the action is, you know, putting in the work, you know, coming to meetings, sharing your experience, strength, and hope, you know. And if you were to tell me 1,224 days ago that I would be standing here right now talking to you guys about my life and how this program has helped me, I would say, you're crazy. Don't you know who I am? You know, because don't you know that's not me? You know, I get nervous, all of this stuff. But I couldn't have done the steps without my sponsor, because the sponsor kept me accountable. You know, kept me accountable. We'd meet with him every single week for about an hour and a half. And we would go through the steps, through the book, read the book, you know, meditate, read Drop the Rock, all of these things, you know, and listen to book study tapes to really dive in and study the book. And because I'm dumb, I don't know what calamity meant, you know, like what does that mean, you know. And and all of these, because the book is pretty complex, but you know, it's helped me understand, like, even my vocabulary, like, increase my vocabulary as well, you know. It's helped me understand what AA is all about, you know. It's guided me to understand and find a power greater than myself. Because when I came in again, I looked at those steps and it says, came to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore us to sanity. And then I was like, and then at the bottom it says there's God, and then there's God, and then there's God, and then I'm like, I don't believe in God, you know. I did believe in God, but there was a situation where the person who took me to church, you know, he cheated on his wife, and I'm like, this was the man of God that I looked up to, you know, and he did that. But my sponsor, he's like, you don't have to believe in God. Like, you, if you believe in that chair, that's a power greater than yourself that can smack you across the face. You know, that chair can smack you across the face. And it's just, this program has done wonders for me. So the steps, the sponsor, the service has allowed me to, like, listen to my loved ones and change my perception of life. You know, because life, I thought, was just, you know, I was going through life on autopilot, you know, not wanting to learn, to grow, to find new opportunities to allow me to be a better version of myself. You know, because, again, I was stuck in that old thinking of, this is how I am, you know. This is who I was meant to be. And that was because that parasite was just eating at me. And I was letting it. And I was letting it. I remember telling myself when, because my, you know, my dad was an alcoholic. He put a lot of abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse on me. And, you know, I have two half brothers who lived with me. And he would tell me as a little kid, if they hurt you, if they do anything to you, come tell me and I'll do something about it. And I believe that. You know, every time, no matter what it was, they took my candy away. They didn't let me play games. I lost at a game. I would go and tell him and he would wreak havoc on them. You know, and I thought that was right until I, because he was, I saw him as my protector, you know. And I came to realize, like, man, that's he's sick as I am, you know. He's an alcoholic. He doesn't have a spiritual guidance. He doesn't have a higher power that can help him, you know. And you know, I've learned a lot about myself in this program, you know. Because I thought I was fearful or fearless. I was fearless. I thought I was fearless. But I truly wasn't. You know, I thought I wasn't afraid of anything. I thought I didn't have any character defects, any shortcomings. Because I'm perfect. Can't you see? I'm perfect. But definitely not perfect, you know. I made that list, you know. That's step four. Allow me to be fearless, as step four said, you know, Mela, searching a fearless moral inventory of myself. And man, that was like, looking at that was like one of the most nerve-wracking experiences I've had, you know, because then I had to share that with somebody. And man, sharing all of the stuff that I've done, all the chaos that I caused, uplifted a weight off my shoulders. You know, I felt that weight come off, and growth also occurred from that experience. You know, because if I couldn't do it without God, I finally had to let go and let God. You know, but I have to take the action. You know, because in the book it says, I believe it's page 85. I can't rest on my laurels, because if I do, the parasite is going to creep up. It's going to say, hey, motherfucker, here I am. I'm back. Right? And that's how I feed it, is by resting on my laurels now in sobriety. You know, I got to stay connected. You know, I got to stay connected to the program, to you guys. I got to make my phone call to my sponsor. You know, in order for the parasite, to keep the parasite stable, you know, because it's always going to be there, right? It's, you know, those character defects are never going to be gone, but I'm aware of them now. You know, I'm aware of, you know, when I'm jealous, when I envy somebody, when I'm angry, and I'm able to make amends to people. I'm able to admit when I'm wrong. Man, that is crazy. You know, I can go to somebody that I hurt and say, hey, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. Like, I'm so sorry that I did this to you. That was a concept that was unheard of. That was so foreign to me. You know, I just thought you just didn't talk about it. And then the resentment kicks in, right? And then you see that guy 5 years later or whatever, and then he comes up to you. You remember that time you did this, and then you get into a fight or whatever, right? And It's crazy that what this program has done for me, you know. And what is it like now? So that was the strength aspect. So what is it like now? I have a new sense of freedom. You know, I have a new sense of freedom, peace, and happiness that I didn't have before, that I thought I had. But it was the lie that the parasite was telling me all along, that alcohol is going to make you happy. Alcohol is going to give you everything that you ever wanted. you know, when it wasn't. You know, it was just tearing me down slowly, eating at me. And, you know, I have the tools now to guide me through life, you know. The triangle, the unity, service, and recovery. You know, I can't do this without you guys. I can't do this if I don't show up to show up to meetings and share when I get called on. No matter if I'm late. You know, I think I was like about 3 months or so. I think he had like 5 years. So if you have 5 years, you're not an old timer. He came up to me and said, hey, just to let you guys know. I don't know if Patrick remembers this because he was there with me. You know, if you're ever late, one of the old timers told me back in the day, like, don't share. Don't share if you're late to a meeting. You know, just say, hey, out of respect for everybody in the room, I don't want to share. And I did that recently, like probably 2 months ago or so. And the guy called me out. He goes, you know what? An old timer told me, and he was the lead. He goes, it doesn't matter. He's like, the only time you're late is the meeting that you don't make it to. And I'm like, oh shit, man. I was like, should I share now? Like, you want me to share? And so I'm like, all right. I mean, I understand both aspects, right? You know, you do want to have respect, but at the same time, what if a newcomer needs you, or somebody in that meeting needs to hear your experience, strength, and hope? You know, you're giving back, and if you don't share, you know, you never know what might happen. The recovery aspect is just working the steps. You know, staying connected. I need to stay connected. You know, because if I don't, relapse isn't part of my story yet, but it can be if I don't work the program. You know, I had this, you know, I listened to a lot of Bob Darrell, and he talks about having that spiritual awakening or that spiritual experience, and he didn't have it. You know, he would talk about, like, people would speak in meetings about, oh, I had this spiritual experience that was so godly, and the light came through my eyes, and all of this stuff. And he didn't have that. And I'm like, man, am I ever going to have that? And I did. It was, I think I was about 13 or 14 months sober. I had a dream the night before, you know, Martin Luther King kind of style. I had a dream that that I, it was about a bobcat out of everything. One of my brothers was with me, and I was just scared of this bobcat. We were at this like park that was surrounded by just like, in the middle of nowhere. And I was just like scared to go after this cat. Every time I looked at it, like growled at me, until I finally like faced it. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, that is interesting that I had that dream. The next day, I'm driving to work, and I see a bobcat. And it was dark, you know, because I work early in the morning. It was around like 5 in the morning. And I live in Grover, and I'm driving down this country road that it's called Noyes Road, that leads to the 227 on the backside of AG, and it goes to Slow. And I just saw, it was super dark, and I saw this like creature crawling. And then I looked over, and I just see these beaming like neon eyes. And I'm like, what the hell? That's insane. I just had a dream about that. And I look it up, and it's basically saying that, you know, when you know, there's different messages, but the message that kind of, that aligned with me was that I was facing my fears, you know, because during that time, I was about 14 months sober. I got promoted to be a general manager at the gym that I train at. And I'm like, that gave me the power to take that position head on, you know, because I was like, man, people, I'm gonna have to be a leader. I was like, but I'm an alcoholic. I can't lead anybody, you know. I'm gonna lead them to alcoholism, probably, to drinking. Like, I'm good at doing that. But like leading them, like, oh man. And it's crazy because I've that's kind of a situation that I always wanted to be in. You know, leading a team, educating people, and being there for them when they need help. You know, and that's part, you know, it talks about carry these principles in all of our affairs. And not just in AA, in these rooms, but in life. And it's just amazing what this program has done for me. I mean, I'm going to read some of these promises. I think this is the step five promises, but, you know, it says, we can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. Man, that's like this. I have that spiritual experience through this program. You know, no matter what happens in my life, you know, I've had stuff happen. The first year of my sobriety, I was talking about this in the beginning of the meeting or early before the meeting started. I lived in Orchid. We had a fire at our house. I was probably like 6 months, 8 months sober. And that was like one of the big things that happened. We were houseless for about 5-6 months. I was working in slow. I was commuting from either my brother's house here in Santa Maria or my in-law's house in Lompoc. You know, and I was commuting. We finally found a house. We were there for probably, I don't know, a few months, and then my son gets sick. Sent to the hospital. Was in the hospital for about probably like a week, you know. It was a traumatizing experience for him. You know, he had to get an IV. I think he was only like 3 years old. And, you know, but I was able to be there, you know, through those things, through those traumatic experiences that my family has had to deal with. You know, I didn't have to opt for the drink. I didn't have to go to the liquor store, go to the bar. You know, I reached out to you guys, you know, AA, the community, my sponsor, my higher power, to guide me through these tough situations. You know, beforehand I would have felt sorry for myself, self-pity. Why me? Don't you know what I've been doing? You know, don't you know I'm doing X, Y, and Z to be a better version of myself, to be there for my family? But God doesn't care. He's not going to stop life and say, oh, you're in AA now? All right, there's no more tragedies that are going to happen in your life. You know, but now I understand that nothing by mistake happens in my higher powers world. You know, whatever happens, whatever he puts in my lane, in my life, he's putting it there because I'm ready for it, or I know how to handle it, you know. And I know that, and I understand that now, you know, and I didn't understand that back then. You know, I had this losing the word, but I had this like false perception of life, you know. And now I look at life through a different lens than I did before. That's not my phone. I don't know where I left my phone. It's right there. What time is it? 5 minutes?
7:57.
30 minutes? No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm going to read a few things because this book is really good. Voice of Knowledge. Recommend it. It's basically a subdivision of AA, the AA book. It's crazy. All right, life can be so wonderful if you love yourself. If you practice doing your best, very soon it becomes a habit. When you're doing your best, becomes a habit, everything is a setup for you to always be happy, just as you were when you were a very young child. But first, you need to stop the internal dialogue. And that internal dialogue is that parasite, that I was talking about at the beginning. You know, because if I listen to that, and I listen to the lies that it tells me, hey, you can still drink, you can go back to that life that you lived before, I'm gonna believe it and I'm gonna run back to it. But I don't have to listen to it. And if I don't listen to it, I can live my life as I need to. You know, today I have a support system, a village, a tribe that understands me, and I am no longer alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Oak and Dawn, for sharing your journey with us. Let's give both of these great examples another round of applause for taking their value.